You're listening to Catholic Talk Radio in Chicago and the suburbs on Relevant Radio 950 AM.
Good morning. I'm Cardinal Francis George. For the next hour, the Archdiocese of Chicago will be hosting discussions on issues, people, and associations that touch our lives. Welcome to the Catholic Community of Faith.
Good morning. Welcome to Catholic Community of Faith, and I'm Father Greg Sackowitz, pastor of St. Mary of the Woods on Chicago's Northwest Side, here on Relevant Radio 950 AM on this beautiful, cold Monday morning in Chicago, the first Monday of 2009, and have great news to share with all of you. Our co-host, Graziano Marcheschi, the director of lay ministry formation for the Archdiocese of Chicago, is a brand new grandpa, Annabelle
Mary.
Mary, congratulations, Graz.
I'm not a grandpa. I'm a nonno.
A nonno.
N-O-N-N-O. Nonno.
That's the Italian version.
That's the Italian version.
And then what would be Nancy?
She would be nonna.
Nonna, no, no.
Yes. And, okay. No, no. Okay. Yeah, everybody gets lots of mileage out of that. Somebody said, yeah, Graz has always been a no-no.
And the little one born December 23rd, so about 2 weeks tomorrow.
Yes.
Which happens to be my mother's birthday.
Well, God
bless her.
Mom
turned 39 when you became a grandma and a grandpa for the first time. So congratulations and
Thank
our prayers
you
with
much.
Mom and dad and the grandparents and
I'm
the whole family.
I'm ready to retire and just do this full time.
And the thing that makes me grunt is how quickly the whole last couple of weeks have gone by. You know, Christmas was a week ago Thursday, and last Thursday the New Year, and of course having Holy Family, and this weekend Epiphany. It just blew right by. And of course we have the Baptism of the Lord this weekend.
Yep.
And just went by so fast. But we have a tremendous program lined up. We are taking phone calls here on Catholic Community Faith, 312-255-8408. New phone number, 312-255-8408 on Relevant Radio, 950 AM. For the first segment we have with us, honored to have Sister Mary Paul McCaughey, the Superintendent of Catholic Schools for the Archdiocese of Chicago. Sister Mary Paul, welcome to Catholic Community Faith.
Thank you so much, Father. Great to be here.
And just found out before the show began that Sister Mary Paul and I were raised in the same town, born and raised in Park Ridge.
Park Ridge, great and place.
Unbelievable. Well, I was actually born in Chicago at the age of one, moved to Park Ridge. So I couldn't believe that we were a mile apart.
Park Ridge has a lot to boast of, apparently. Look at that.
I became a Sox fan, though, pretty quick.
And what? So have I.
So are you.
We were two rare Northside diehard White Sox fans.
Is this a disease in Park Ridge?
We're a minority.
Infiltrated the North Side.
Yeah, I moved to the South Side. But, yeah.
Brian calls it a North Side privilege. So I cheer for the Cubs as long as I don't play the White Sox. And we also have with us in studio, Josh Hale, the Executive Director of Big Shoulders Fund. Josh, welcome to Catholic Community of Faith.
Thank you very much for having me this morning. It's great to be here.
Great to have you both on. Sister Mary Paul, as the new Director of the Archdiocese of Chicago, Superintendent of Schools, what's it been like for the first several months?
Well, it's been 6 months, and I did present a whole series of goals. In fact, I was crazy enough to share them with the other department directors, 18 of which related to the Office of Catholic Schools directly serving the schools, and the other goals, about 10 more, related to engaging the Catholic community in Chicago and Cook and Lake Counties in our schools, for the support of our schools. So it was quite the New Year's resolution to look at those goals and to see which got accomplished, which didn't, what some of the new challenges are.
Now, the thing is, in your first 6 months as the superintendent, what so far has been the biggest surprise?
I think one of the biggest surprises is just how I had always thought that one size doesn't fit all. But I was really confirmed with this, with the schools. There are so many different models, different challenges, different canonical and legal things, different curriculums, different needs in neighborhoods. So I would say that confirmed it, deepened. But I think I was one of those things that I just knew intellectually. But to now to feel it in your gut after visiting 130 schools Yeah, and have more to come.
So in the first 6 months, you've already visited 130 different grammar schools and high schools so far?
That's correct.
Out of a total of how many?
Out of a total of 218 elementary schools and 40 high schools.
And 40 high schools. And then Josh Hale, the executive director of Big Shoulders Fund, maybe explain to our listeners, I mean, many, many, if not all the listeners have heard of Big Shoulders. Before getting directly into your responsibility, explain for our listeners, what is Big Shoulders?
Big Shoulders was founded about 23 years ago with the suggestion of Cardinal Bernardine. And it was a time when he saw an increasing portion of the pie that was unfunded for the inner city Catholic schools. And so he went to the business community and said, can you help? Can you be a part of supporting these schools? And there was a resounding response. And so over the 23-year history of Big Shoulders, we've raised about $172 million, all for the inner-city Catholic schools. Today, we serve 93 inner-city Catholic schools. And to become a Big Shoulders school, one, you have to be in the city of Chicago. Two, you have to be Title I eligible. And three, of course, you have to have a population where 20% or more are living out of low poverty. And so we work very closely since Cardinal George has been here. He's been a huge champion of the schools and a big supporter of Big Shoulders with the Archdiocese Office of Catholic Schools. And we got a great board. And I cannot tell you how happy we are that Sister Mary Paul has taken the job and is just absolutely hit the ground running. And we're all trying to run to keep up with her. So we're all very excited.
Very complimentary, but I actually wanted Josh to be a part of this today because we do meet regularly. And this fell on our meeting date. And I said, hey, why don't you come on down after we meet and talk to Relevant Radio? And he was gracious enough to do that.
Grazie was our surprise guest today.
That's right. You know, giving money to the Catholic schools here is probably a no-brainer for anyone who's learned anything about them. Sister Mary Paul, you must feel especially proud. I'm extra aware of this because my own home parish school, Pope John XXIII, was designated a Blue Ribbon School this year. But every year, schools from the Archdiocese of Chicago receive that designation, and we always are like right there at the top more than any other school system in the country. Why do our schools do so well?
May I just say, I think a part of it is it's our mission. We are really driven by our ministry to young people. So that means not just a whole faith component and we hope a lovely climate in each school, but very strong academics. So when you're looking at a Blue Ribbon designation, you have automatically said you're in the top 10% of all the schools in the nation. Your scores have to be proven to be there.
Now, that's an incredible accomplishment.
Notch. And we're the most winning system in the nation. And yeah. I believe that's just due to the tremendous responsibility that's taken day by day with our teachers, with our principals, with their young people, with the expectations of their parents. It just fits when everybody does care, it shows. And really, there are many more schools that are qualified for that Blue Ribbon. It just is a lot of process to go through to get it.
So some
of it is just, you know, not having the secretarial help to help you guide you through that very strenuous process. But our schools are excellent, and that's proven time
and we've had a history of excellent schools. It just didn't start today.
No.
But I'm a product of the Catholic school system, the Archdiocese, and there's no question that the education I received at Mary Seat of Wisdom Grammar School in Park Ridge, Notre Dame High School for Boys in Niles and High School, then enter the seminary, beside the raising of tremendous parents, that the foundation of the education as a faith-based is part of who I am today.
Yes, and it's no, we can't rest on our laurels because even the public schools are picking up on our secrets. they're not secrets. The secret is that shared expectation, that tremendous love of hard work, the enculturation of excellence academically, but also the feeling for the young person of being accepted and feeling safe. And then, of course, we add that faith dimension, which is for us,
huge.
Really,
that's,
the future
that's,
of the church.
That's
it
the
is
key.
The future of the church.
Well, I think you said it earlier when you said when everybody cares. You know, it takes the teachers, obviously. It takes students who care about their own education. And it takes parents who are willing to make sacrifices and who also really want their children to do well. When you've got all of those, I don't think you can fail.
That's exactly right. The parents are making an investment. We used to say sacrifice, but I think sacrifice, the root words, is, I believe, to make holy.
Mm-hmm.
And indeed, that's what we're doing. We're saying this young person is holy, and we are committed to making this whole process of learning a holy one.
Now, regarding that whole investment, and Josh, you would come in here, is there is a tremendous increase in the cost of tuition today when I was in grammar school or high school back in the 60s and 70s. It's phenomenal, the increase. And so what you do and many others with Big Shoulders and the fund, that without it, we'd lose a lot of the schools. Or the children could not go to the Catholic schools, which make a huge difference. So that's the one thing that's a reality is the prices, the cost keep rising. And so, Josh, as you look into 2009, as you meet with Sister Mary Paul, what are some of the goals that you have set out for the Big Shoulders Fund?
Two things on that point. One, it's incredible that you're right, that people certainly have recognized the importance of these schools. And in the last 3 years, we've just at Big Shoulders alone, we've tripled the number of people who contribute to the schools, tripled the number of people who are involved with helping to keep Catholic education available in the inner city. The other thing is that in the last 5 years, we've actually seen the amount of income from fundraising double. So people are, I think, as tuition is increasing, people are saying, but we got to have more help. And I think the Archdiocese also, under Cardinal George, have really stepped forward and said, this is important, allocated more and more dollars, and said, we need to get more people involved. We've tried different – we also have incredible support from non-Catholics as well, Catholics and non-Catholics, saying these schools are a treasure here in Chicago. And for the Big Shoulders schools in the inner city, 3 years, no schools have closed down. That is a – I mean, the Archdiocese –
that's huge.
That is huge across the country.
But now, have you found in the last 6-8 months where the economy has really gone south, has that affected people's giving for the Big Shoulders Fund?
We've been watching those numbers very, very closely, and this is one of the largest giving times of the year for us. And quite frankly, we've held our own. We've had a number of new givers. We've had a number of people increase and say, during this difficult time, we want to make sure that we're helping a little bit more. And that has really been a huge help. They've heard the cry from the Archdiocese, from Big Shoals, saying that if we don't have the help, we can't keep these schools going. So that's been a tremendous boost.
Josh, what's the profile of a typical donor to Big Shoulders? Is it corporate or individuals?
You know what? It's almost in thirds. We have about 50% comes from corporate and foundation, and 50% comes from individuals. About 40% comes from non-Catholic sources, and 60% comes from Catholic sources. So we have the donor is now it's evolved, it's grown over the years, but it is that so many people. We have people that give because of faith. We have people that give because they got a great Catholic education. We have people that give because they think it's an investment in the future workforce. We have people that give because, any number of reasons. But they really see that these schools are of value. I mean, if the 93 schools we supported closed today, that would be kind of $500 million to the city of Chicago. Hmm. Now, that's taking aside faith and everything else that's so great about these schools and the great education. But these schools are a gem. As Sister Mary Paul, with her new plan, these 18 goals, I've seen them and talked to her about it. I mean, there are some great things on the horizon here, and her energy and enthusiasm is only going to make this better.
Can you share a couple of those goals with us, Sister?
Oh.
We have about 1 minute, so
think
to all 18.
One of the biggest goals that I have, and it looks forward to really to 2009, is to establish a board. And the Cardinal has given his consent for a board for Catholic schools. And I really believe that through the work of this board and its subcommittees in finance, in looking at our buildings, the unfunded depreciation, looking at scholarship opportunities for young people, making the whole process very transparent is going to only increase the excellence of our schools and increase the involvement of more people in them. Our parents cannot bear this burden alone. Yeah. They never have. Nor should they. It's a church project.
Well, Sister Mary Paul, I've heard nothing but raves and positive reviews about your first 6 months from other priests and laity and teachers, that you are truly boundless energy, enthusiasm, and have done marvelous work. So we need to bring this segment to a close. We want to thank
you.
Yeah.
Bless you.
Thank you in a very special way, Sister Mary Paul McCaughey, the Superintendent of Catholic Schools for the Archdiocese of Chicago, and also Josh Hale, the Executive Director of Big Shoulders Fund, for joining us in this first segment on Catholic Community Faith. Sister Mary Paul and Josh, thank you, and God bless the both of you into the new year, and keep up your great ministry in the Lord. We're going to go to a break here on Catholic Community Faith. I'm Father Greg Sackowitz along with Graziano Marcheschi. 312-255-8408. Stay with us and do not touch that dial.
Choosing an elementary school for your child is one of the biggest decisions you will ever make to shape your child's future. So why pick a Catholic school?
I want my kids to learn more than the three R's. They need a faith-based education so they make good decisions.
I want my son and daughter to go to college. At Catholic schools, attendance and graduation rates are nearly 100%. And when these kids graduate, they go to college.
My teacher is so cool. She knows who I am. She helps me when I have trouble figuring things out.
My son isn't a number. The student-teacher ratio is 18 to 1, and Catholic school teachers are really dedicated.
I want my daughter to feel welcome, to be safe.
The test scores are well above the national average. Look out, college. Here they come.
Go to www.archchicago.org and click on Schools to learn more about the great benefits of a Catholic education. Invest in your child's future. Make your child a winner for life.
Are you an active volunteer in your parish? Do you want to grow spiritually and deepen your faith and prayer life? Do you want to know more about the Bible, church doctrine and history, and about sacraments and liturgy? The Archdiocese of Chicago offers the Called and Gifted program for generous people like you. Through weekly classes and monthly formation days, Called and Gifted helps parish volunteers become more effective parish ministers. You'll study at a site near you, forming friendships and deepening your faith. And each month, you'll attend a formation day of prayer and learning at a retreat center of stunning beauty. Over 1,500 volunteer ministers have found greater confidence for ministry through the Called and Gifted program. For more information about this wonderful opportunity for growth, call Sister Peg at 847-837-4555 or email layministry@usml.edu. Don't put it off. Call today.
Welcome back to Catholic Community Faith, and I'm Father Greg Sackwitz, along with co-host Graziano Marcheschi, the Director of Lay Ministry Formation for the Archdiocese of Chicago.
2009, Greg.
Yeah, it's hard to believe. It's January 5th, and it just has gone by so fast.
So fast.
And we are taking phone calls, 312-255-8408. Write that number down, 312-255-8408 on Relevant Radio 950. Time is coming up on 918 on this cold day in Chicago. And we have with us by phone, back by popular demand, we have Frank Koob, the Catechetical Ministry Coordinator for the Archdiocese of Chicago, and also hosts his own radio program here on Catholic or Relevant Radio 950 entitled Echoing God's Word. Frank, welcome to Catholic Community Faith.
Glad to be back with you, Father Greg and Gratz.
How are you doing,
Frank? When does your program air?
My program is going to be on, it's always on the third Wednesday of the month at 9:30, and it's Echoing God's Word. It features catechetical news and ideas, sometimes a little bit of catechesis from around the Archdiocese. And this month we're going to be on January 21.
Now, it's interesting that
we're going to have some representatives of the Hispanic catechetical communities talking with us about what's special about catechesis with Hispanic groups today.
What I find interesting is that the name of your radio program, Echoing God's Word, the word catechesis means to echo or resound.
Right.
That's the word catechesis means, to echo or resound. So the very fact that you are echoing God's Word is certainly a reflection of what catechesis is all about.
Yes.
Frank, tell us what is happening, what's on the horizon in the catechetical ministry area for the Archdiocese this year or the next couple of months?
Well, I think we have some really good news, Father Greg and Gratz and everybody else who's listening. We have 96,000-plus elementary-age Catholics taking a religious education in their parishes through our office, and that's really a wonderful, wonderful story in itself. That's where it's all happening. Our office is a support to the 360-plus parishes that we have and their catechetical programs.
So right now there's about closing on 100,000 young people doing religious education throughout the Archdiocese?
And these are the ones, these are the children who are not attending Catholic schools, and so it takes a really a great commitment on the part of their parents to to have their children enrolled in these programs that meet sometimes in the evening, sometimes on Saturday, sometimes on Sunday mornings between Masses.
You know, that's a significant number, obviously. And I think sometimes people think that if a child isn't going to a Catholic school, that their religious education is being neglected. But obviously, that's not the case here in this great archdiocese.
We have an office of 29 people dedicated to supporting these parish programs.
How does a child normally become involved in a program like this? And you know, if there are parents out there whose children are not enrolled, tell them what to expect. How much time does it involve? What kind of parental commitment does it require? Is there a cost involved with becoming involved, you know, participating
sure.
in a program like this?
Well, it varies certainly from parish to parish. But the requirement of the Archdiocese is that there be at least 30 hours of instruction a year, and most parishes have a lot more than that.
Mm-hmm.
And some parishes will schedule 24 classes that are an hour and 15 minutes long, sometimes 18 classes that are 2 hours long. It depends on the parish. And certainly for parents, they need to be aware of this. They need to get their kids enrolled. They need to find out what a parish is charging for the program, and those rates are all over the place.
Now, at the same time, Frank, beside having the children involved in the catechetical program, we are blessed in the Archdiocese of Chicago with a tremendous number of men and women who teach the children, so that you have the children in the classroom, and I'm amazed, like at our place at St. Mary of the Woods and other parishes throughout the Archdiocese, the dedication and the goodness of people who step forward to share of their gift, of their faith, with our young people. And, you know, they don't have to be there, and week in and week out, they are dedicated and present.
When I was a director of religious education at a parish in the suburbs, I used to tell my people right up front, you are signing up to help out in one of the most time-consuming ministries a parish has to offer and needs volunteers for.
And it's a commitment, and it just amazes me always, and then maybe you can help on this, Frank, is you just don't have a man or a woman thrown into the classroom, but there's opportunities for them to update their own theological understanding. Am I correct?
That is absolutely true. In fact, all of our textbook materials and the catechist guides that go along with them start out by educating the catechist on the topic of that particular lesson first before they figure out how they can pass the faith on to the children in their classes.
So if there is a parishioner who's interested in becoming a catechist, what would he or she do to make sure that they're adequately prepared, you know, and so that the responsibility isn't too daunting for them?
Sure. Well, certainly the catechist group itself is a support group. There are experienced catechists. There are new catechists. If they bond together, they can bring each other along. Every parish has a professional catechetical leader who can help guide the ministry, help make sure that there are good materials, and help answer any catechist questions. There are regular meetings of catechists, the way any teachers have meetings, to make sure the program is moving along properly and to answer any questions they might have about their own program. Certainly our office provides a wonderful, wonderful catechist certification program called Fostering Faith.
And that goes, what, from September through May, Frank?
We have it scheduled all throughout the year, actually. A typical class is a 10-hour class. It might be divided up into four two-and-a-half-hour sessions, two five-hour sessions, or whatever parishes have the capacity to decide what style of class suits their people best. We have classes scheduled during the summer. We have them scheduled all over the Archdiocese in the fall, winter, and spring. Typically, we require a catechist to take five courses, each 10 hours long, and they follow section by section the contents of the Catechism of the Catholic Church. We try to help them we try to help them to not just have to rely on their own grade school understanding of the faith in passing it on to kids. We want them to be well-informed adult Catholics as well, so that they can pass the faith on properly as it should be.
Frank, I'm assuming that most often a person becomes a catechist when the pastor or the DRE sort of, you know, grabs them by the shoulder and says, hey,
tackles.
That is really true.
I think you'd be good at this.
I have done this, and I have kept a list and kept my eyes on really, really people with good potential for years until the right moment came along to ask them. One woman was nursing her husband who was terminally ill, and he lingered for a couple of years, and finally after he was gone for a year, I said to Marilyn, I think that you would be a good catechist. I've mentioned this to you in the past. This might be the time. And she jumped to it, and she's still a catechist. She's teaching first grade, and she loves every minute of it.
Okay, now see, that's where I was trying to get. No matter how they get there, once they're there, something keeps them there, because a lot of them, you know, as you indicated, stick around for a long, long time. Talk a little bit about what keeps them there, what kind of experiences they have that make them lifers.
Well, certainly passing on the faith to young people has its own invigoration. Just being in a classroom with kids who are willing to respond to you and take your direction and learn the faith and learn to love the faith. One thing I tell parents often is that your children want to go to Mass. Why don't you let them? Because we motivate the children in the faith. Religious education isn't just passing on information. It's motivation. It's leading children to whatever level of commitment to the faith, whatever level of transformation that's possible at their age. And certainly parents need to emulate that in their own homes.
See, what I find what's so fascinating, when you're dealing with parish life, be it the pastor, the associate, the DRE, the pastoral associate, when someone is personally invited into a particular ministry, this being teaching religious education, that a lot of times one of the biggest myths is when people say to me, I could never teach in the classroom, I'm not good enough. And no one's asking them to be perfect or knowing every facet of the faith on a doctoral level, because many times values are caught, not taught. So the individual needs certainly a firm foundation of the faith, you know, the different segments, but more importantly, who they are as an individual. It's incredible. I taught religious education as a seminarian at Mary Seat of Wisdom when I was at Niles College Seminary of Loyola back in the mid-1970s, and a few of the students that I taught back in fourth grade, I've met over the last couple of years and said, you know, Father Greg, when you were a young seminarian, you taught me fourth grade religious ed at Mary Seat of Wisdom, and they remember.
That's amazing.
I'm sure that you'd have many stories, Frank, of teachers where the young people come up to them and say, 5, 10, 15 years ago, you taught me, and it's made a profound difference.
I would love to have more seminarians have that experience, because then we'd certainly get a tremendous backing from the priests of the Archdiocese for the efforts that our office is trying to lead people toward in developing this end of parish programming.
You know, every Sunday we stand up at Mass and we begin, we believe in one God, the Father Almighty. And all the people who stand there can say they believe because somebody taught them what to believe.
Yes.
And that's what your office is all about, passing on that faith that we profess.
And even along those lines, you know, the word believe means, from the original, to give one's heart to. That's the root of the word believe, to give one's heart to. So when you're teaching young people in the classroom, you know, passing on the faith, the tradition, the beliefs, it's giving one's heart to.
Well, Frank, thank you for giving your heart to catechetical ministry and to all your colleagues down at the Office for Catechesis. We wish you a happy new year and much good luck in the work you do and the ministry you do in the coming year. We're going to move to a break, and when we come back, we're going to be talking to Father Joe Noonan about vocation ministry in the Archdiocese. Stay with us. We will be right back. We'll be right back.
The cemetery ministry is a core ministry of our Catholic faith tied to the corporal works of mercy. Cardinal George says, "It's comforting to know that our Catholic cemeteries are caring for the remains of our loved ones awaiting the resurrection. There are 43 Archdiocese of Chicago cemeteries willing to help you during times of loss. Call 708-449-6100 for assistance. Catholic Cemeteries, serving the Catholic community since 1837.
Do you know what's going on in your church around the corner or around the world? Do you want to hear stories about your faith? Do you want to help shape Catholic thought? If you said yes, subscribe to the Catholic New World, the newspaper for the people of the Archdiocese of Chicago. Call 312-655-7777 or visit us at catholicnewworld.com. The Catholic New World, a world beyond your church, a church beyond your world.
We asked people all over America, what have you done for your marriage today?
It's a good question.
Boy, I gave a huge hug this morning, like a really big squeeze.
I took the baby while she worked.
I got up with the baby while he slept.
Yeah. We've actually organized a date night tonight.
I cooked my husband's favorite breakfast.
Well, I've done today what I usually do, and that is obey.
What have you done for your marriage today? Don't forget the small stuff. Need ideas? Go to foryourmarriage.org. A message from the Catholic Communication Campaign.
You're listening to Catholic Talk Radio in Chicago and the suburbs on Relevant Radio 950 AM.
Every Monday through Friday from 9 to 10 a.m., the Archdiocese of Chicago presents programming about the people, the issues, and the faith that affect all our lives. Thanks for staying with us here on Relevant Radio 950 AM. Now again, the Catholic Community of Faith.
Welcome back to Catholic Community Faith, and I'm Father Greg Sakowitz, pastor of St. Mary of the Woods on Chicago's Northwest Side, co-hosting with Graziano Marcheschi, the director of lay ministry formation for the Archdiocese of Chicago, here on Relevant Radio 950 AM, 933 on this blustery Monday morning in Chicago.
Good to be here with you, Greg.
In fact, we're going to do a little flip-flop in the
I'm going to have a little out-of-body experience now, and I'm going to...
Now, what it is, instead of Graz right now... Co-hosting.
Oh,
wait, is Joe here?
He's here.
Okay, bring Joe in.
Open sesame.
We're waiting for Father Joe Noonan, who is the director of the Vocation Office of the Archdiocese of Chicago. And was the door locked or something? Okay, maybe I'll just do a song from my last CD as we're waiting for... we could talk. Bryce is talking about the Blackhawks. Joe!
Hey, how are you?
Father Joe Noonan, welcome. We're live on the air here. Yeah, take your time, Joe. No problem. I was just, we're talking about the Blackhawks for a moment. And morning,
you know,
Joe Noonan.
He had so far to travel. Was it two floors?
Yeah, two floors. Got stuck in traffic, Joe. And it,
well, you know, that elevator sometimes takes a whole 30 seconds to get to me.
Yeah, the only thing is, and Father Joe is the director of vocations for the Archdiocese of Chicago. Joe, welcome to the program.
It's great to be here, Greg.
I know you're
great to have you.
Talk about cutting it close. It's not bad. Joe, what do you have lined
up? I apologize for being late, but I did stop at the mailroom and talk for a while. I thought I was on at 9:45, so y'all out there, I guess in my clock.
Oh, okay.
I'm a little early.
So, so Joe now thinks he's early.
So obviously, Monday morning. The success of the vocation effort is due to the work of the Holy Spirit.
That's right. We've seen the success of the church for centuries.
Father Joe
Thorne's
15 minutes early, and you and I are telling jokes to kill time here, Graz.
I got a couple of good ones.
Jim Dish and I were out. Jim Dish runs the TV and radio. He's a wonderful director here. But he and I were just watching a squirm through the window for a while. It was kind of fun.
It's good.
All of you out there
breaking into my last Christmas CD.
The first Monday of the first full week of the new year.
It is, exactly. So blessed, happy, healthy new year to you, Joe.
Yeah, praise God for coffee and caffeine and all those other good things, right?
As the director of vocations for the Archdiocese, first of all, you've been doing this particular ministry for how many years now?
This is 7 years now.
7 years.
Right.
Ordained in 1995. In 95.
6 years at a wonderful parish, St. Francis Borgia, out northwest by, I guess, not way, way northwest, but out by Rosemont, Elmwood Park.
And what was your assignment after that?
And vocation assistant director for 1 year, and then this for the rest.
The thing is now, so what is on the horizon in 2009 with the vocation office in the Archdiocese?
Some great stuff. Excellent stuff. This will get me excited. So this will wake you up. The work with men who are discerning God's will is an energizing and exciting ministry. I've seen some really wonderful movements of God's grace this year. And I believe, you know, the Holy Spirit, as Gratz pointed out earlier, is the inspiration behind, you know, all of our ministry in the church. And to see the Holy Spirit working in men's life is lives is very inspiring to my own vocation. But specifically for 2009, where we see the Holy Spirit calling men is to maybe be more engaged in some of our programs. So if guys are out there listening, or maybe you know someone who may have a calling to the priesthood, you might be the instrument of God's grace to invite them. We do have two opportunities. I'd like to give a little plug out there. You guys don't have one of those plug cowbells or something, do you?
I didn't bring mine.
You could tap your coffee
ding,
cup.
Ding, 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 ding. Here we go.
Jingle my car
well,
keys.
Well, you know, some shows, they have like a plug bell or something.
A plug bell. We need that.
You get a plug bell.
Put that on the wish list for 2009.
Oh, hi, Brian.
All right.
But we do have a retreat coming up in 2 weeks. Men are calling and emailing and signing up, and it looks like a good group of guys are ready.
Now, what is that called?
Called Exploring Priesthood Weekend, and it is offered at Mundelein Seminary. There is no charge for participation. It starts on Friday night, January 16th, 7, 8-ish o'clock. We realize men working might not be able to get in right at 7, but whenever they arrive is great. And then it runs till Sunday, January 18th, till about noon. So a chance to get back to wherever they live, especially if they're out of the diocese, and get ready for the weekend.
Now, Joe, someone listening right now at home in the car driving, a young man would say, okay, how do I know this weekend would be for me? First of all, what would be the particular age group?
Sure. It's a college and post-college age. So we have had some families actually, you know, ask about their sons going, and this is not open to high school students. So it'd just be college 18 and over, you might say.
And so it'd be for a young man who really has entertained, has thought about, been invited to explore the possibility of priesthood in his life.
Exactly. There are as many different levels, as you know, Greg, being a former vocation director, for discernment. So this is not one, you know, like my stage of discernment or another. We kind of call this an open house weekend, in which some men who have never been to a seminary before, that may be the first thing they've ever thought about doing for vocations, it's perfect for them because it's not high intensity. We're not looking for them to sign on the dotted line. They get introduced in very general ways to what seminary life
is. So it's not a pressured weekend.
Not at all. The use of the subliminal messages has been changed. That's a joke out there. No,
including on this radio program.
But it's a very prayerful.
Be a priest.
Use your envelope.
God That's is right. calling you.
Well, when I was I have to segue. I know segues aren't always great, but I got to tell you this little story. My mom had some visitors over, friends and stuff over, and they were talking, and my brothers had hidden one of their walkie-talkies under, like, the couch, and were actually making noises and scared one of the guests, a female guest, just, like, through the roof. She almost jumped through the roof. No, we don't do that. No walkie-talkies hidden anywhere.
I did that to my son. You know, you can remote access your home computer from work and vice versa.
Oh, wow.
So I was at work, and I knew my son was on the computer, so I got control of the computer, and I started typing a message, Christopher, this is the Lord. I'm watching you. It just absolutely spooked him.
I want you to make your bed.
Yes. So,
clean your room.
You might consider that, you know, for a vocation strategy.
Stories come out.
We try to be a conduit of God's grace and not get in the way
Amen.
So much. But
I think that vocations will take a rebound. And I see that happening already.
Sure.
The more seriously we take priesthood itself.
I agree.
I think in the years after Vatican II, there was this democratization principle at work, you know, that said that we're all equal in the eyes of God. And it's one thing to be equal, but we're all different as well. There are different ministries in the church, but we lost that. Right. And the uniqueness of the priesthood got lost.
I really agree. I think that maybe with any type of large shift or change, you know, good things came out of, you know, Vatican II. We certainly see the empowerment of the lady, which the church really has benefited from. But I think you're right. Some things were overlooked or pushed aside or forgotten. and to reclaim those while also, you know, benefiting from this wonderful growth of lay ministry, is, as you know, being the director of lay ministry, is powerful.
Yeah, yeah.
It's a powerful movement for the church, and it's a win-win.
And I think another segment with your both saying, what I would agree is, I think we're starting to recapture the importance of a personal invitation.
Yes.
An invitation that comes from priests. But I'll tell you, even on a, and probably even a more important level, that in all my work as a vocation director in the Archdiocese at the College Seminary, which was then Niles College Seminary, today St. Joseph College Seminary, connected with Loyola University, is the affirmation and invitation and support from parents, and especially moms. My own mother was instrumental in my vocation. Of course, vocations come from the Lord. I mean, that's the key. Is that I truly believe in the call from the Lord, but somehow when parents are not active, inviting, and one story that in a sense haunts me, and I've said this before on the air, when I was in the college seminary as vocation director, there was a young man coming from then the high school seminary, wanted to come to, as a freshman to Niles College Seminary of Loyola, and he really wanted to come because he wanted to be a priest. His father said to me, if my son enters your seminary, I will disown him. I said, what? I said, repeat myself. He said, my son comes to your seminary, I'll disown him. He said, I want my son to be a success. And I said to him, the man, I said, how do you define success? He said, money, position, and power. And I thought to myself, how sad.
Good way to define unhappiness.
Yeah, that's how he defined success for his son. Yeah. And he let him have the high school seminary to get a quote out of his system. And so the need for support of parents for the priesthood is one important facet.
And we've seen some heroic responses by men in the last couple of years. And I think, Gratz, you had a wonderful young guy come out of the lay ministry program.
Yeah.
And some of the men that are facing you might say a lack of support, really are heroic. And so if you're out there and you don't feel the support, know that there's other men like you in the seminary. And it's really it becomes a bonding experience because guys become such good friends, lifelong friends, because it's a similar experience. But we've had also wonderful things happen while men are in the seminary too. One quick story is a young man who was a convert from the Baptist faith, and he was, you might say, not even supported in converting to Catholicism. And so it was much less support when he, you know, spoke to his father for the first time about becoming a Catholic priest. But it led to a lot of conversations that probably took them on a deeper level in their relationship. The dad really discovering that this is what the son felt called to do, and it was hard for him to accept. But after a couple of years, the dad was not only very supportive, but also inquiring about Catholicism for himself.
Wow.
In a very, very open way. And so, you know, men out there, even if your parents aren't so supportive, you know, be a hero. You know, you look at some of our great saints and they went against the grain, but the people they eventually led into the faith, some of their own family members, it's tremendous gift to them and to the church.
You know, I think when somebody comes from another faith, they have an extra gift of being able to see the priesthood for what it really is.
Oh, yeah.
You know, because they've experienced different models of ministry, and now they look at priesthood and they see there's something unique to priesthood. And I think a lot of times we've perceived priesthood more as a social worker rather than what I think it's supposed to be. What makes sense to me is a priest is a spiritual father. Mm-hmm. And the spiritual dimension of priesthood, I think, is what's paramount. And I think oftentimes what's been more emphasized is the social worker dimension. Anybody can do that. You know, as a layperson,
sure.
I can do that.
Exactly.
But there are things I can't do.
Right.
And that's what the priesthood, I think, is primarily there for. And not to relegate priesthood to being, you know, the magic maker, because obviously he's a full human being and he relates to people in a full human way. But there's a unique dimension to that role that is what sets it apart.
We need to bring the segment to a close, and I think what you're saying, Gratz, is phenomenal, and what you've added there, Joe. And I would also want to say this, that for a young man to be rooted in prayer, to follow your heart, and if you really feel the Lord is calling you to priesthood, you give it a try. You give it a try with everything to gain and nothing to lose. Father Joe, before we leave, a phone number if someone wanted to contact you regarding Exploring Priesthood Weekend.
Exploring Priesthood Weekend is one of the many options of things that we have on our website. So probably the best way is you can give me a call at 312-534-8298.
The number once again.
534-8298. Or the simple word, Chicago Priest. I guess two words. Chicago Priest is our website. That's .com. And you can find out information about the retreat, our in-search discernment program, and just other opportunities. Thank you both very much for letting me come on.
And for Father Joe Noonan, yes, who is the Director of Vocation Office for the Archdiocese. Joe, keep up the great work. God bless you. You are listening to Catholic Community Faith on Relevant Radio, 950 AM. I'm Father Greg Sakowitz along with Grazia Marcheschi. Stay with us. We'll be back right after a break.
Real men answer the call to the priesthood. Is God calling you?
You know, I'm honored to be a priest for the Archdiocese of Chicago. I think it's great.
There's a desire to want to give back and to help and to serve those who are especially in need.
I think there's a wonderful opportunity for us to bring good news to a world that's very much in need.
When I experience through my ministry someone being brought closer to the Lord, it's an exciting, thrilling moment.
If you feel God's call to a priestly vocation, contact us at 312-751-8298. Or visit our website at chicagopriest.com. John Paul II once said, "Do not be afraid. Open your heart to Christ. The deepest joy there is in life is the joy that comes from God. Jesus is the hope of the world. The people are calling. The world is calling. God is calling. Answer the call to the priesthood."
Chicago Bears executive Pat McCaskey attended a Catholic elementary school, high school, and university. He's glad he did.
The Bears have always emphasized community work, and I learned how to do that in the Catholic schools.
The Catholic schools of Cook and Lake Counties enjoy extremely high attendance and graduation rates, and they put students on a clear-cut path to college.
My wife and I have been blessed with three sons. We want our sons to continue to attend faith-based schools.
Pat McCaskey is backing a new Catholic schools initiative, Lessons That Last a Lifetime. Call 312-655-8486 for more information. That's 312-655-8486. Support Lessons That Last a Lifetime.
Good character and gospel values are just as important as good grades.
Welcome back to Catholic Community of Faith, and I'm Father Greg Sakowitz, and not now as co-host, Grazia Marcheschi. Graz becomes a guest for the last segment. We've never done this before. We've gone from co-host to guest because we're talking about what's happening in the Archdiocese on different levels and areas, and Graz, as the Director of Lay Ministry Formation for the Archdiocese of Chicago, Graz now puts the hat on as the guest. And would now Graz has made my job as host real easy because to our listeners, Graz typed out seven questions for me for my guest, Graziano Marcheschi.
I'm not sure I know the answers, though.
But I think the first question was interesting that you wrote to me. Do you think I'm funny? Yeah. That question kind of surprised me, but I think you're pretty funny.
I didn't mean funny looking.
No, folks, Graz did not write down that question. But he did write down, as the Director of Lay Ministry Formation for the Archdiocese, what programs does your office sponsor, Graz? That question you did write.
Yeah, well, you know, I'm glad we're doing this following Father Joe's stint here with us, because talking about priesthood and talking about lay ministry is a good thing to do together. I can talk very seriously and very emphatically about the value of priesthood, because I also believe very strongly and emphatically in the value of lay ministry. God has graced this church with lots of gifts, and just because you believe in one doesn't mean that you don't believe in the other. And so I fully believe in priesthood while at the same time being very committed to the empowerment of laity to also work within and minister within the church.
Now, see, along those lines, I want to share this. This weekend, we celebrate the feast of the baptism of the Lord. And I always stress among people, by our baptism, we are called to serve in the name of the Lord, especially reaching out to the poor, the homeless, the have-nots in society. So it's not by ordination to the priesthood that I am called to serve, but even beyond that, by our baptism. For all believers in the Lord through our baptism, we are all called to serve. And as you mentioned, Gratz, sharing our gifts of time, talent, and treasure with the wider community through our baptism, which we celebrate this weekend.
Service is a dimension of discipleship. You know, when you are baptized, you become a disciple of Jesus Christ, which means you follow in his footsteps and you do what he did. And what he did was he reached out and touched people's lives, and he healed, and he helped, and he fed, and that's what we're being called to do. When you take on an official role within the church, when you stand for the church, then you take on a special role as minister. And for that, you need some kind of preparation. Now you're not just living out your baptismal call, but you're living out an additional call.
You need to be trained.
Yeah.
Now, also, I want to go on record, you know, please, folks, that I deeply believe in the gift of priesthood. We need more priests. We need more religious. We need more sisters. We need more brothers. And so as a former vocation director in the Archdiocese, I spent 7 years of my life promoting the gift of priesthood and inviting young men to consider priesthood. But beyond that, which is what part of what you, your main role is, Gratz, is the formation of the laity. Because again, as a component, a huge part of Vatican II, which was from 1963-1965, the emerging role of the laity to live out their baptismal call.
That's right. Well, here's the deal. 80% of the work done in parishes throughout the country is done by lay people,
yeah,
most of whom are volunteers. 80% of the work is done by volunteers. Now, some of that is very limited. You know, they might be a lector, you know, and that might be the extent of the service that they give. Very
but
important service.
Gift. But that's their gift.
That's
sharing.
Their gift, and it's indispensable. Others are doing much more significant work. They might be heading up a ministry. They might be coordinating the people who do bereavement or the people who do the soup kitchen or the
or teaching religious ed when we have Frank on earlier.
Or teaching religious ed, you know, who are coordinating catechists and things of that nature, doing sacramental preparation. All of those things do require preparation. So the diocese has ensured that people can get the training that they need. You know, Frank mentioned the Fostering Faith program for people who do catechesis. My office runs a program entitled Called and Gifted.
Now, talk to us about that.
It's a program we're in, I think, our 30th year now. So almost 2,000 people have gone through that program over the years. It's a significant commitment because one night a week for 2 years, you're going to class for 2 hours. And you're studying everything from Scripture, Old and New Testament, the history of the church, sacraments, communication skills, Christology, peace and justice. So the academics is pretty rigorous. You have to read books. You got to write some
papers. Now, Gratz, of the 2,000 graduates of Called and Gifted, what have some of the people gone on to do in the Archdiocese?
Well, it's amazing. Some of them are running diocesan offices now. So they started off as volunteers, thinking they were going to do very limited work. They got their feet wet. They've discovered that they loved ministry. They loved studying theology. They loved learning about their faith. And some of them then went on and did master's degrees. And so we have people in this very building here, the Quigley Center, who began their career, quotes, in ministry through the Called and Gifted program. Many are still working in their parishes, running different programs, sacramental preparation programs, you know, things like that, as I mentioned. And, you know, obviously, because it's 30 years, some have gone on to the Lord and some are long retired. But it's an amazing program that changes people's lives. I say that with no embarrassment because I know it's not because of what I do. It's because of what the process does. People come together from many different parishes in the diocese. They meet each other. They hear about different experiences of church, and it just does something to them. And the interaction they have with each other, what they learn from each other, the stories they share with each other, just is transformative. So I say it's not an information program, it's a transformation program.
And people need permission to give themselves permission to challenge themselves to respond to the call of the Lord, because
Amen.
The days of the priests and sisters doing everything are over.
Long gone.
And now, again, we need priests, brothers, and sisters, but somehow through programs like Called and Gifted, what other programs do you offer that involve laity to share their gifts with the community?
Yeah. You know, when we talk about vocation crisis, there's a different way of looking at it and say there is no vocation crisis in the church. There are more people responding to a call from God than ever. They're just doing it differently. And one of the ways they're doing it is becoming lay ministers within the church, people who give their whole life where their entire full-time work is service in the church, as pastoral associates, directors of religious education, music ministers, education ministers, whatever.
And there are a tremendous number of gifted people who have talents and areas of ministry of involvement that is phenomenal.
Many
and they're
thousands.
Making a profound difference.
Absolutely. So the other program that we run is entitled Together in God's Service. That program leads to a master's degree. The Calling Gifted program is a certificate program. We don't do grades, and people come out with a certificate. Great education, but at the certificate level. Calling Gifted, they actually go to grad school. They go to Loyola or Catholic Theological Union. Two-thirds of the tuition is covered, so the student only pays the final third. In cases of financial need, we can even help with that final third. And these people are preparing to become either a pastoral associate or a director of religious education in a parish.
So, which means for those individuals, their full-time ministry then would be involved in a particular parish
Amen.
As a pastoral associate or a DRE.
And for both programs, we really rely on the discernment of pastors. We really hope that pastors will look for people in their parish to send to the Called and Gifted program, people who have leadership potential, who can really exercise, you know, be partners with them in doing the work in the parish. And we really rely on pastors to help discern people to become the future professional ministers in the diocese as PAs and DREs. Without the pastors, we can't do anything. We want the best and the brightest, and the pastors are the ones who know them, who can discern them, and who can tap them on the
Just
shoulder.
Just out of curiosity,
say,
of the 2,000 graduates, give or take 100, what's been the proportion men, women?
Well, it's higher, much higher women,
mm-hmm.
you know, probably 70% women, about 30% men. Sometimes it shifts a little bit more.
Now, just in the last, I realize we're running out of time here, Gratz, give a phone number that people could contact you regarding lay ministry formation.
All right. I'll give you a main number, 847-837-4554.
Then number once again.
847-837-4554. Ask either about the Called and Gifted program or the Together in God's Service
program. What about a webpage?
USML.edu/layministry.
Once again.
One word. USML.edu/layministry.
We need to bring this to a close. I want to thank co-host and guest Graziano Marcheschi, the Director of Lay Ministry Formation for the Archdiocese, for being with us this hour. Thank you also to our producer, Jim Dish, engineer Brian Hockey Hitman Brock, for a great job. To our listeners, God bless and have a blessed, blessed, healthy new year.
This is Cardinal Francis George. Thank you for being with us this past hour on Relevant Radio 950 AM. Join us every day, Monday through Friday, as the Archdiocese of Chicago presents the Catholic Community of Faith. Have a wonderful day and God bless you.